opening the Word of God this morning in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we're principally looking at verses 5 to 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. The Lord has this word for Joshua: "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Put yourself for a moment in Joshua's position. Those who have been to the fore in Israel: Moses, Aaron, Miriam, and Phinehas are all gone. The full weight of responsibility, it rests firmly on Joshua's shoulders. The command to Joshua in verse 2 was ever so clear: "Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people." What a challenge! The river Jordan was in itself a formidable obstacle to progress. The particular season of the year, harvest time, meant that it was in flood. Its level was at the high water mark. And beyond the Jordan, the land was filled with fierce, warlike nations. They vastly outnumbered the people of Israel. But God's will for his people was this: go forward. Israel were not to live in the wilderness, rather they were to go forward and possess the promised land. God's will is the same for us as it was for Joshua and his people. We are to be constantly going forward, possessing our possessions in Christ, living in the victory that he has purchased for us on the cross. The Lord promised Joshua in the last words of verse 8, success. Then thou shalt have good success. This is the only time that word is found in the Bible. We all want to make a success of our lives, for our own sakes, for the sakes of those who are dependent on us. May each of us know progress, a going on with God, an adding of victory to victory in our Christian walk and daily living. In these verses 5 to 9, we see how the Lord declares success to Joshua. He was very aware of the foes facing him. He will have to fight tooth and nail. Up to this point, as we learned in verse 1, he has been the minister to Moses, understudy to Moses. Now Joshua must step out and play the leading role. How will he go about it? There is a threefold declaration of success that comes to him in verse 5. First of all, the Lord declares Joshua invincible. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. This promise had already been given to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 7. In verse 1, the Lord said, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Then in verse 24, he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee. The same promise as was given to Joshua was given to Moses. We know that Moses faced Pharaoh, the astrologers, the wise men of Egypt, but not one of them was able to stand before Moses. And what was true of Moses was true of Joshua. Not a man will be able to stand before him. He will vanquish his enemies, the Anakims, the Amorites. They will all wilt before him. And what an encouragement to us is this declaration in our personal spiritual warfare. What has been begun in us who are the Lord's by the new birth, it will be continued. Paul could say to the Christians in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The good work having been begun in us, having been saved by the grace of God, this work will be performed until the day of Jesus Christ. The word performed means to finish. The work of grace has commenced in us who are Christians. It will continue until its completion at the return of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5 and verse 27, the Lord, speaking of his church, it will be presented to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All the work of grace will continue in the Lord's people until his people are presented before him on that great accounting day, holy and without blemish. Oh, the Lord can remove the obstacles and enable us to go forward with a conquering tread. So the Lord declared Joshua invincible. The Lord declares himself in verse 5 as unchangeable. As I was with Moses, so so I will be with thee. Oh, we think of how much the presence of the Lord meant to Joshua. He no longer has the presence of Moses, but he has the presence of the Lord, who is greater than Moses. The presence of a friend, when you're apprehensive about going to a particular place, what an encouragement it is to have the presence of that friend with you. You say to the person in appreciation, "Oh, I did not like the thought of going on my own. I'm really glad that you're able to come with me." When someone shows up at your home unexpectedly, you say, "Oh, look, who's here? Everything is all right. Look who's here." Remember, who's with you, child of God? The Lord. The Lord dwells in your heart. He has said in those tremendous words of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he has pledged in a threefold way in the original, "I will never, never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee." A young preacher was visiting with an elderly Christian, and he learned that this was the man's favorite text, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And to help the believer get a firmer grasp of the text, the preacher explained that in the original there is a threefold negative. The Lord says, I will not, I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee." The elderly Christian replied, "When the Lord says it once, that's enough for me." Yes, the Lord assures us of his presence. "I will never leave thee." What was Joshua's experience in his first battle at Jericho? In chapter 5 and verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Who is this man? It is the Lord of glory. It is the Lord himself making good this promise, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Oh, much around us is in a fluctuating state. Values, morals change, standards change. But listen, the Lord doesn't change. And in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the Lord says, "I am the Lord, I change not." He's always the same. He is still righteous, still hates sin. It's still his will that we live righteously, godly, in the evil day. As the Lord was with Moses and with Joshua, so he will be with you. And then we see in verse 5 how the Lord declares himself unfeeling. "I will not feel thee." With all the challenges facing him, Joshua no doubt felt that he might feel to lead the people, and the people might feel to follow him. But the Lord declares, "I will not feel thee." In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 5, it is written of the Lord, he faileth not. He faileth not. We fail one another. We disappoint each other. We let each other down. But the Lord is the only one who never fails. And Joshua, at the close of his life, he testifies to this in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. He's the unfailing Jehovah. Yes, the Lord declares success to Joshua here in verse 5. But then we see, secondly, how the Lord desires success. What wonderful promises, assurances the Lord gave to Joshua. But they were not given so that he could set aside his own responsibility. Does the declaration of success mean that Joshua can put up his sleeve, lay by his sword and set down his shield? Does it mean that he can tie up his horses and chariots of war? No, it means none of that. Some people turn the eternal security of their soul's salvation into a license to live as they please. But what a denial of God's purpose and will for his people that is. They say, I'm eternally saved. I can do as I please. I can fulfill all the desires of the flesh. I can go where I like. Such an attitude demonstrates that that person is living a lie and has nothing more than a profession. Remember what Paul, the new convert, prayed in Acts 9 and verse 6. He prayed, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He's just saved. He's just been brought to the knowledge of Christ, and his life is immediately under the lordship of Christ. He's a disciple now. He's under the discipline of his new master. He's now yoked to Christ, and he wants to learn what the Lord would have him do. As for Joshua, he has God's declaration of success, but it's his responsibility to desire success with every fiber of his being. Mr. Spurgeon said that Joshua was not to use the promises given as a couch on which his indolence might luxuriate, but as a girdle wherewith to gird up his loins for future activity. Now look at verse 6. See how the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. That word strong carries the thought of tenacity. Be loyal. Be unswerving. Be strong and of a good courage. The thought in the word courage is, do not hide your head in the sand. Face up to the challenges that will come your way as you strive to gain the promised land. as the leader of Israel, what strength and courage Joshua will need. As in the case of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, they find themselves marginalized. They find themselves in the minority. And so in the future, Joshua will have to stand out from the crowd. And strength and courage is needed by the Christian to stand out from the crowd. All the world is bold, it's forthright in its opposition to all things biblical and godly. And we need the same determination. We need the same strength and courage to stand today in 2011 and having done all things to stand. Oh, let us determine that we will live by the word of God and not by the world's standards. Joshua was to obey the Lord, not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. We remember how resolute the Lord was while he lived here on earth. He was always about the Father's business. His face was always set toward the cross. Oh, let us have the same courage and resolution. And then thirdly and lastly, we see how the Lord defines success for Joshua. In verses 7, 8 and 9, Queen Victoria was a godly monarch. And when a prince came to visit her one day, she presented him a beautiful copy of the scripture, saying, "This is the secret of England's greatness. This is the secret of our success," Queen Victoria was saying. "The Bible, the five books of the law, Genesis to Deuteronomy," this was Joshua's Bible, "these were the scriptures that Joshua had in his possession, and they were given to him the secret of his success." We see three things here. Joshua was to put the word of God into practice. Verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Joshua now has great influence in Israel. He's the most powerful man in the land. The scepter of power is in his hand. He's the commander of all the hosts of Israel. But there is an even greater authority than Joshua. The scriptures of proof. And this leader is to bow to the scepter of divine truth. He's not to depart from God's law. He's to observe to do according to all the law. He's to be a doer of the word of God. Our leaders today disregard the scriptures. They treat the word of God with disdain. As we read in Psalm 2, the leaders take counsel together to set aside the Word of God, to break its cords and cast it asunder. Here was the defining of Joshua's success: living by the Word. And it's the same for us. James 1 and verse 22 exhorts us to be doers of the Word. You are to put what you hear and read in the Scriptures into practice. Joshua, verse 8, was to observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not just some things, but all things he was to put into practice. You and I cannot pick and choose the verses that we will practice and the verses that we will put to the side. We are to be doers of the Word of God in its entirety. He was to put the Word into practice. He was to ponder the Word of God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Without question, Joshua was a busy man. There were no idle hours in his day. The people were constantly coming, seeking advice and counsel. Matthew Henry says that if ever any man's business might have excused him from meditation and other acts of devotion, one would think that Joshua's might at this time. Meditate, it means to turn what you have read over in your mind, to chew on it, to think it over, until it is locked away in the memory and it becomes a part of you. We read Psalm 119, and in verse 15, the psalmist said, I will meditate in my precepts. In verse 23, he said, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. It's recorded of Mary when the shepherds broke to her the news of our Savior's incarnation in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She pondered the Word of God. Oh, may we be in the habit of putting God's Word into practice and in the habit of pondering it. And then we see that Joshua was to proclaim the Word of God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It was to be always in his mouth. Those who hide the Word of God in their hearts by meditation will be able to bring out of it words in season, timely words. And Joshua will be able to make known to his people the mind and the will of God. What a treasure the Bible is to guard, to guide, to goad us on to attempt great things for the Lord. Strengthened by the Scriptures, God's people are in the way of good success. God's people, strengthened by the Word, are as bold as a lion in the battle of life. David knew the Word. What wonderful victories God had wrought for his people. He knew all of those things from the Word. So when it came his turn to champion the Lord's cause, he could say in 1 Samuel 17 to Goliath, in verse 45, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Oh, what strength and valor and courage there was in David's heart, for the word of God was therein. Here is the secret of a successful Christian life. A life that will hear the "well done, thou good and faithful servant." The word of God is not only our guard and our guide and our hope, it is the gospel. Christ is revealed in the pages of Holy Writ, from Genesis to Revelation, as the Savior of sinners. My wonder, has this word made you wise to salvation? Or is there someone in this service this morning and you're playing the fool? You're living without God, without Christ, and without hope, and your soul that will never die, your soul that will for all eternity be in heaven with Christ, or in hell without Christ, is in danger of being lost. Oh, that you would seek the Lord. Come to the one whom the Scriptures reveal as the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. May you come to Christ and then live to his honor and to his glory. May the Lord bless his own word to every one of her heart.